Tom and Mary Poppendick have been called the godparents of Agile. Now, I'm with Mary and Tom now. Mary, just to explain, where did Agile come from? How did it start?
Well, it depends on how you think about it, because Agile has always, for decades, been the way that good software engineering has been done. But somewhere, I don't know, in the 90s or so, we kind of lost our way. And people got into their heads that the best way to do software was to write this big long list of requirements and then make sure that they were correct. And then after a long time of doing that, then you did some coding and you wrote all this code and then you tested it. And that flawed concept kind of took over a large amount of software development, although not most engineering parts of software, but other areas of software development, IT organizations, for example, people looking for certainty and thinking this was going to give it to them. And rounds about the mid to late 1990s, that concept, which some people call waterfall, became popularized. And about 2000, was it 2001?
Something like that.
The Agile Manifesto was written by people who said, wait a minute, it's the wrong way to do software. We know better. And we did. We've known better for decades. And so a group of people became a bigger movement saying, let's do it things in short iterations. At the same time, technical tools became available to do early testing, to do that kind of more rapid delivery, to integrate with deployment and that sort of thing. And it became more and more practical to abandon that flawed concept from the 1990s and get back to the roots of software development, which was done in a much more agile way.
Okay, Tom, just explain to me just a few of the points about Agile, which you think are the most important in getting people to improve the way they program. Just break it down to essentially the simple basics here.
The model of software as a factory has proven utterly defective. Instead, what you're really doing when you're creating software is learning about better ways to execute some process, to solve some problem. Now, there are very effective models for how to learn effectively, and they are not to write a big plan and then execute this big plan. The models for learning effectively are much more based on having a hypothesis, understanding the implications of this set of assumptions about what you're trying to accomplish, and then doing experiments to see, am I right? And if you are, proceed, make another guess, proceed, test it, but always proceed based on evidence of experiments that you've performed to confirm that your way of thinking about the problem and the solution that you think will work is correct. Not speculate on it, but actually do experiments to try it.
So actually what we're talking about here is not so much talking about programming, more problem solving. And is that where the problems have lain in the past?
Yeah, so where do you get the idea that programming isn't problem solving? Because in the end, at least from my experience, programmers take a very complex puzzle and try to figure out how to solve it. It's not just how do I write in a certain language a computer can understand, but how do I take a problem and think about it in such a way that I can translate it into that language and solve the problem. So the whole concept that programming is not problem solving is an interesting concept, but I would suggest it is. The other thing about what Tom said as problem solving is the fastest learner is the one that's going to win. So the faster you can go around the experimental loop of trying something, failing, which is good, not bad, and then learning from that, the faster you are going to learn. So if you think about development as figuring out what problem is and how to solve it, that's what development is. It's not building something, it's figuring out how to solve a problem. Then the faster you can do that, the better.
Mary was talking about the fear of failure. In Britain, we often fear failure quite a bit, and we uphold failures and lambast them. Is this the correct way to proceed?
Only if you want to fail. If you reinforce failure, you'll get better at it and faster at it, hopefully. Or maybe the fear will make you hide and defer making it visible for as long as possible, which is exactly the wrong way to learn.
Learning requires making mistakes. I mean, how would a child learn how to walk if they never fell down? Do we, you know, give them trouble because they fall down? The earlier a kid walks, the more they fall. Think about it.
Okay, so we've had this conference and you've had a chance to talk to all these people here at Tremo in Cornwall. Where does Agile go now in this country?
Well, Agile's been around for a decade. It's not new. What has to happen now is we have to figure out how to think about Agile in a bigger context, a context of how do we become innovative, start new companies, make sure that the way that we use software is going to be useful for driving new business engines, especially in a place like Cornwall, like where you would like to have new businesses that can go out to the world and make a splash. What you're looking for is software-based businesses, not software, but software-based businesses. So you need to think about what does it take to create a successful business and how do I learn while I'm developing this software? You want to not just have experiments. The other thing you want to do is learn how to create software which is from the front, high quality, rather than this crazy concept that we test it at the end of a development cycle. We test it at the beginning. In fact, we write the test first. We don't even call them tests. We call them specifications. And every time we write code, it does what it is that it's supposed to do. That's another concept that Agile has popularized. And I think the technical heart of Agile is really starting with the quote-unquote tests, but let's call them specs, and writing the specs first in an executable manner and then writing the code to pass those specifications.
Okay, thank you, Tom and Mary Poppendick, for talking to us for the podcast.
Thank you.